We are saved by grace, for grace. Grace is the means of our salvation, and grace is the end of our salvation. God intends to spend eternity unveiling vista upon vista of the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and Pastor, in your sermon, you say, fresh grace every 24 hours, vistas of grace, grace upon grace. What are some of those graces?
Yeah, well, the reality is our whole life story is one of grace. When you realize you were dead in your trespasses and sin, there was nothing in you that was worthy of salvation, but you are a trophy of grace that God reached down in Jesus Christ and gave you new life. That, like, you realize everything in your life is a testimony to the grace of God. He saved us by grace. He redeemed us by grace. He loved us in grace. He forgave us in grace. He's given us hope in grace. It is by grace that we are being saved now as we walk in holiness and the Spirit is in our lives. That's grace. And He leads us by grace. His word is grace. And He's taking us home to be with Him in glory, which is grace. And in glory in heaven, He's going to give us grace upon grace as He reveals more and more of His life and character and intentions and purpose and glories to us. This is grace upon grace upon grace. And here's what's amazing to me. That same grace is the grace in which we stand. It is the grace we live in every day of our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. And that grace gives us abundant purpose and hope for every day of our lives. We live in grace.
Amen. We're in Ephesians chapter 2, so let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church.
And friends, when you're a dead man and God gives you your life back, it means He has a purpose for you. From death to life with purpose. Let's talk about purpose. Point number three, purpose. For what purpose has God shown us His mercy, His love, and His grace in making us alive together with Christ? What was His purpose? Verse 7. So that, there is your purpose language, in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This is amazing. So God made us alive by grace, yes, in order that He might show us more grace. We are saved by grace for grace. Grace is the means of our salvation, and grace is the end of our salvation. God intends to spend eternity unveiling vista upon vista of the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. All of eternity, friends, will not be enough time to explore the furthest reaches of His boundless grace. Glory will be an endless supply of ever abounding grace upon grace upon grace. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. What can a corpse do to save itself? Absolutely nothing. Friends, our life in Christ, our salvation, this grace in which we stand, this faith by which we take hold of Christ, it is all by grace. It is all by grace. It's not of our doing, our own doing. It is the gift of God. We get no credit. We contributed nothing. We didn't work our way into this salvation. Oh, but this salvation is going to work its way through us. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I love this. God's the workman. He's the one doing the work. We're the workmanship. We're the project. God gets all the credit for taking a spiritually dead corpse and raising it to walk in newness of life. It is by grace and it is for grace. His purpose all along was to make us this new creation in Christ Jesus. We are his creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And as a new creation, friends, we are now called to walk in newness of life into the very good works that God has prepared in advance that we should walk in them. So we didn't walk our way into salvation, but now that salvation is going to walk its way out in our lives. It is faith alone that saves, friends, but the faith that saves is never alone. We work out what God works in. And if we are to walk in newness of life and do these very good works that God has prepared for us, we're going to need something. We're going to need the riches of his immeasurable grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus every day of our lives. Yes? Now and forever, we're going to need tons of grace. And it's so good to know that that's what God wants to do all along. He himself is on the job. He's the workman. He's the creator. He's the grace giver. We're his workmanship. We're his new creation. We are adopted children by grace in Christ. And friends, through grace, we have transforming purpose. Through grace, we have transforming purpose. Friends, God's got a perfect path for you. He's got a perfect path for you. He's called you and enabled you and equipped you and filled you with the Spirit and poured out his mercy and grace upon you in order that you might walk in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you might become more and more like Jesus inside and out, that you might be transformed from glory to glory as you become in Christ the person you were always meant to be. A son, a daughter of God. Friends, you were born for this. You were made alive and resurrected for this. You have been graced by God for this. And you are destined for glory for this. Philippians 1 verse 6, he who began this good work in you will carry it on to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Friends, do you realize what this means? It means that by grace, you can break the cycle. By grace, you can break the cycle. You don't have to do all the sins that have come before you. You don't have to be just like your mama or your daddy. You don't have to follow the pattern of the world around you. You get a new start. By grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can break the cycle in your family tree. Do you realize that God is addressing here, by grace, all three roots of evil and sin? They're all three addressed here. In terms of supernatural oppression, Jesus has broken the power of Satan. He's seated and enthroned above all the powers, and we are seated with him, which means they don't have dominion over our lives anymore. In terms of cultural influence, he's made us a new creation. He's taken us out of this old world with its decay and sin and its culture of death, and he's brought us into a new creation that is destined for life and glory, and you get to live from the resources of the new creation. And in terms of your own human choices, he's given you his grace, a new way to walk, a pattern of life as he fills you with his Holy Spirit so you learn to stop doing what you want to do and start doing what the Spirit wants to do in and through your life. He's prepared good works for you to walk into if you would just say yes. So by grace, do you see, God is rooting out evil from all of its deep sources. The powers of darkness have been dethroned. The world and its allure has been dispelled. Our way of walking in life has been displaced. We are now made alive together with Christ. Jesus is changing everything. God in Christ is rooting out evil that's in the very source of our being. He's turning death on its head. He's reversing the curse. He's reconciling all things to himself. All the sin and death and spiritual oppression that Adam let in here, God is setting to rights in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:22, as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we read a few weeks ago in Ephesians 1, verses 9 and 10, for all along this has been God's purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in himself, things in heaven and things on earth. And it's already begun in you and me, who have trusted in Jesus Christ by grace through faith in him. This grace has made us alive. This grace is growing us up. This grace enables us to walk. This grace keeps us going. This grace takes us home. This grace will make us glorious. And it is grace upon grace that will be our story from beginning until end. And friends, grace grows godliness. Don't you see that? Grace grows godliness. Friends, God has purpose that you will one day stand before him, holy and blameless and glorious. One day you will see Jesus face to face, and you will be like him, for you will see him as he is. And even now, your Father has prepared good works that you might walk in them, to be conformed to the image of his Son as you walk by the power of his Holy Spirit. And every step of the way, it is grace, grace, grace. By grace, you are alive in Christ. By grace, Satan has been overthrown. By grace, death is defeated. By grace, sin is forgiven. By grace, you are God's workmanship. By grace, you are called to walk in newness of life. By grace, you have good works that God has prepared for you to walk into. By grace, we walk in obedience. By grace, we are conformed to the image of Christ. By grace, we keep in step with the Spirit. By grace, we strive with all his energy that so powerfully works in us. By grace, we work out what he is working in us. It is grace that gets us in. It is grace that grows us up. It is grace that gets us to glory. And in the end, it is grace upon grace upon grace forevermore. We are alive by grace. Friends, when you're a dead man and God gives you your life back, it means he's got a purpose for you. So go live it out in the power and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. Pastor Philip, you said that we're saved by grace for grace. I need more. What does that mean? We're saved for grace.
Well, the end of the story is so glorious, it's beautiful, that God intends to give us more of himself for all eternity. Pastor Larry, I think we're going to be in heaven and we are going to be sitting there going, wow, 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 over and over again as we discover more and more of the manifold glories and grace of God that have been ours through Jesus Christ, the saving work, what God was doing, his purposes and intentions, the way he wove our stories together, the 10,000 things he was doing at any given minute. We're going to be lavish in the overflowing grace of God for all of eternity. So we've been saved to be these trophies of grace, and we're going to revel in all of that glory for eternity. We're saved by grace for grace. We're trophies of grace.
Well, you use the term trophies of grace, and I think about, you know, the three trophies I got in my they sit on a shelf and they just collect dust, but that's not really what this is about when you say trophies of grace, right?
Well, we're living trophies, right? Yeah. We're alive. And so not only are we displaying the glory of the grace of God by our lives, that's the testimony we're giving off, shining, if you will, but we are alive. And so we are living into this glorious, gracious purpose of God who has ordained that we would have these good works, that we would walk in them, that he has purpose and intention for our days. He has spiritual gifts he's given us. We live in grace in order to enact that grace as a part of our stories in this world, in our relationships, in the places where we live, work, learn, and play. So we are trophies of grace. We shine, but we also are alive and we are enacting this gracious story. God has purposes for every day of our lives and everything that we do. His grace is operating. That's our story.
Let me just stop there then for a minute. For our listeners, some of them may be saying, but this stuff that I do every day, this ordinary stuff that I do, that doesn't feel very supernatural. It doesn't feel like there's any grace involved with it. I mean, I took the trash out this morning.
So yeah.
Where's the supernatural in all that?
Yeah. Well, the reality is most of us, this is where we live, right? We have relatively ordinary lives. They feel like they're not all that adventurous, not compared to the movies we watch or the books we read. But this is the everyday character of God that is being birthed in us through hard things, through mundane things, through routine things, that we are learning to walk by the Holy Spirit in dependency on God, metabolizing the grace of Jesus to help us navigate the ordinary lives that we have, because nothing's actually ordinary at the end of the day. Everything's extraordinary. The little interactions that I have,
yes,
are opportunities to shine and share and show the love of Christ. They're opportunities to grow in Christ's likeness. So just the other day, right, I'm on the highway and somebody cuts me off, right? And you could look at that and just say, well, that's just a normal thing in life. It's an ordinary occurrence. It's annoying, right? But it's also, actually, you think about it, it's an opportunity to grow in patience and kindness and long-suffering. In other words, every moment of every day is an opportunity to be with Jesus and to learn from him how to do life so that I might be conformed to the image of Christ, led by the Spirit for the glory of God. And so I can change diapers for the glory of God, right? When you see, you go, who likes diapers? Nobody likes diapers, but I'm serving.
Yes.
And I'm loving and I'm caring. And in doing those things, I'm actually resembling our Heavenly Father. I can grow in Christ's likeness while I change diapers.
Wow.
And when I respond to an irritable person, I can do that with grace. When I pick up trash in my neighborhood, I'm serving so everything can become a laboratory in which I am growing and learning what it means to follow Christ. Everything's sacred.
What a wonderful perspective. The everyday things are like sandpaper that are shaping us, sanctifying us for service. But okay, Pastor Philip, you don't know where I work, some of our listeners are saying.
Yeah.
You know, I have a tedious job and people I work with just aren't really nice.
Yeah.
And so how do I bring that into the workplace? Or is it something that doesn't apply in the workplace?
So I find great comfort in the fact that Jesus spent 30 years of his life doing non-professional ministry. He was a carpenter. He was a stonemason. He built houses. That's what he did, right? And so you think of Jesus' life, his early life, he's learning his ABCs. He's becoming a scholar. He's learning how to talk and how to interact. And he's learning a trade. And he's working that trade. And he's building houses. And he's providing value to his neighbors. So there's nothing sacred, if you will, in that.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like. It feels very ordinary. Ordinary work with ordinary problems and ordinary people that are giving you ordinary trouble.
Okay.
Right? But the reality is God the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him at his baptism. All he's done is ordinary things. And what that means to me is that you can have just a regular, ordinary life and honor God and glorify him in amazing ways. You don't have to go cast out demons or preach sermons or heal the sick or raise the dead like Jesus will do. Of course, God's pleased with that too, but he's pleased with all the ordinary things as well. So that gives great dignity to all the things that we do. If you think of Adam, Adam was originally created to work the garden, to cultivate creation, to unleash its potential, to suppress the things that could go wrong, and to bring out the innate beauty that God intended, to cultivate and draw that out. And so much of our quote unquote ordinary lives are doing that very work. We're cultivating creation. We're suppressing things that are broken. We're bringing healing. We're trying to enhance and adorn the dark and add beauty where we can. And so drawing out the goodness of God's creation. So everything that we do, when viewed through that lens, all of a sudden becomes a very sacred task. And so there's this sacred ordinary that we get to be a part of. And here's what's amazing. We do that by grace. So here, God's giving us the grace of how to work these good works in our lives, and then we give it back to him as a gift, and he's delighted in it. It's kind of like my kids. My kids, you know, they buy me a birthday present every year, and they use the money I earned, right, to buy me a present and give it back to me, and I'm actually delighted in it. Right? And it's kind of the same way. Like God looks at us and he rewards us and he puts crowns on our head and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And you say, wait a minute, this was all you to begin with. Like it was all your grace. But that's the point. He delights to see his own character reflected back to him. And when we give him his own grace back to him, he smiles. It gives him great pleasure because he sees himself in us. And that's a beautiful picture, I think. So the reality is, you know, he gives us the crowns, we throw them at his feet. And so all of eternity is us just arguing over who gets the credit and the glory as he bestows glory in us. And we go, no, no, it was you. And he gives, so the grace is, we're saved by grace for grace. And that grace looks like self-giving and self-surrender and just blessing each other for all of eternity. And so that starts to happen right now. My life can be a part of that grace as I live each and every day. And here's what's amazing. It's going to look different for all kinds of different people.
That's right.
And it's going to be as individual as you and me and all the things, because God is saving this multi-ethnic, multi-communal body of Christ from people from every nation, tribe, and tongue. And so it's going to look very, very different. And that's actually where Paul is headed next in Ephesians.
I'm looking forward to it. Next time, we're going to talk about what it really means to be one in Christ. Now, I want you to know that we have a special book available for you for a gift of any amount. Dr. Sweeting's book, How to Begin the Christian Life, is a guide for both new and seasoned believers to rediscover the joy of their salvation. Recently, many young people are coming to faith and professing Christ through baptism. Even if you've been a Christian for years, revisiting the basics can reignite your faith. You know, Dr. Sweeting says in his book, quote, God wants us in the world for a holy purpose, to be witnesses for Christ. This is our ultimate reason for living in this world, end quote, and amen. It's time we lived out our calling as followers of Christ in this world, and this book is an invaluable guide for guiding someone in gaining assurance of their salvation, starting their Christian walk, and continuing it day by day. For a limited time, we're offering How to Begin the Christian Life for a donation of any amount. Now, to request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-2255. 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.